your seatbelts, because we're getting ready to bless the Lord.
Welcome to the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Evangelistic Ministry, the center of victory, Accra.
A place of total victory, personal victory, family victory, spiritual victory, financial victory. You'll be equipped for the victorious life as you listen to our pastor, Dr. Ohuneba Enyanebuedum, preach God's word. Jesus Generation, experiencing God, raising a godly generation. Amen.
Anointing. Glory to God. Amen. Don't feel bad I said that. Glory to God. Amen. The man who does not learn is the man that doesn't have any regrets. Amen. So as we learn, we have regrets. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. How many of you are excited to hear my voice again? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I bring you greetings from my sweetest and one and only wife. And she's doing very well. And Reverend Prophetess Kemi is also doing well. Amen. Amen. I love you all, leaders, pastors. The Lord is with us. Amen. Amen. Lift up your right hand. Akunta, the Lord bless you. Lift up your right hand. Say the next dimension. Say, we are here. Let's go there. Begin to thank God for taking us there in the next realm. Begin to thank God. Just speak and thank God. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you all glory and praise. Honor your word. Cause there to be a unique manifestation. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Put those hands together. Glory to God. It's unto God. Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm speaking on the next dimension. And I'm going to believe God to minister this as a series for the church. Because we are about to step into a different realm of ministry and a different realm of our lives as well. Amen. Amen. So the next dimension is not only for this ministry, but it is also for your life as well. Glory to God. And that God is going to take you from one dimension into the other. Amen. So this morning, my sub-theme under this series of the next dimension is, we are here. Let's go there. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we are here. Let's go there. And as we are believing God even to move from our present physical location to accommodate the growth and the structures we are putting in place, I believe that even more importantly, God is preparing us spiritually to move into another dimension of ministry altogether and personal relationship with God. Now, a dimension is a measure of a spatial extent in a particular direction. So we have dimensional faces. We have two dimensions, one dimension, three dimensions, four dimensions. Now, when you study into this geometry, you realize that the higher the dimension, the better the view. You see, when we do ultrasound in Ghana, It's a two-dimensional thing. It's just in the x-axis and then in the y plane, isn't it? The x and y. But when you go into other advanced countries, they do 3D, three-dimensional ultrasounds, four-dimensional ultrasounds, where you leave the dimensions or the planes of x and y and begin to enter into other dimensions. So the picture you see is a clear picture of the... Come in, mommy. Just come in. Bring her here. She's my guest from the U.S. So when you get a three-dimensional picture or a four-dimensional, you realize that you see the face of the baby as opposed to what we show as some round structure. So what I'm trying to say is that as we move from one simple dimension into another dimension, we enter into a place of revelation and clarity. Hey, do you appreciate that? When you move from one dimension of your x, y axis into a 3D or a 4D, what you just see as black and white, you now see it as the real face with the flesh and the eyes. You see the picture clearly. You don't just see an imagery thing that it will take a professional eye to see. When you are in a higher dimension, we all see it clearer. Hallelujah. Now, when you move from one point to the other in the same dimension, you are really not having progress. You may be able to make some miles, but you are not making progress in an upward direction. But what I'm trying to teach this morning is that leaving the realm of our present habitation and entering into another realm where the protocols are different. Oh, I'm already somewhere, brothers. Glory to God. Glory to God. So physically for this church, the next dimension will have a better auditorium. The next dimension will have better equipment, better structures, win muscles for the kingdom, evangelize the city for God. We will be activated to function in another transmission gear altogether. It's as if we have been in first gear for some time, but we are going to move into second and into third. It is not going more miles in the first gear. Now you are moving into a different realm altogether. Hallelujah. And in this next dimension, I believe that God is going to bring you and I into a place of spiritual intimacy with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a place of confidence in God. The next dimension is a place of intimacy with God. It's a place of constant fellowship with God. It is a place of rest in Jesus. Hallelujah. The next dimension will bring about the next chapter of your life. And it's going to be new. Look, I'm reigning in some great anointing. Hallelujah. And I've seen the hand of God in so many places. We were at Tema with my young men, Sabandi and Morris and Chief, last Thursday. And we saw the power of God. Hallelujah. I have a guest from Connecticut. You can ask her. The power of God is still working. Glory to Jesus. Now, what I want you to know is that what I'm teaching you is the key to our success. When God shall take us out of the reality in which we are and introduce us into a new one. And that place is a place of rest in Jesus. I prophesy unto you this morning that you have rest in the next dimension. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, I prophesy that God will work for you in this next dimension, and you will see His glory. Hallelujah. So we are here. Let's go there. It's simply an invitation of an upward journey, a higher life, a better tomorrow, a greater balance than we have ever had. To the natural eye, this process of going higher and becoming better will require a lot of strength and input from you to accomplish. Some will even predict that there are people here who will not be able to enter into the next dimension of their life. But I have good news for you. the announcement for your eviction from your present zone into a better place was pronounced by God. And when God says something, if it is not going to happen, he will never say it. So long as Isaiah chapter 49 says that he declares the end from the beginning. So when God says that, my master, you are entering into another dimension where everything is going to be peace round about you, and that you will be comforted on every side, and the protocols around you will change, then God knows the end, and so he has prophesied it. So it is not in the interest of any person to stand back and think that she will not be able to get to where God has said, because it was not her decision to get into that next dimension. It was the pronunciation of Jehovah God that she's going to go into the next dimension. So when God says to us, we are here, let's go to the other side, then God knows that whatever happens between the journey from here up to the other side will not kill you. Then God knows that in spite of the struggles you have in the middle of that journey, he has seen that you will get to the other side. And it is not you who said it, it is he that said, you are here, let's go to the other side. So for me and for you, the best thing will be that you will hear the word of the Lord that speaks concerning you to say that move to the next level. When God says you are in the next level, you are in the next level. When God says this thing is not wood, it is glass. By the time you get here to challenge, it is glass. So when God says that, Brother Erasmus, you are going to enter into a different dimension, then nobody should think, how will it be? And can he make it? Because it's a different realm altogether. He that made you, he that formed you, he that fashioned you is the one that said, oh, let's go to the other side. There's a scripture in Isaiah 25. He says that I, the Lord, I have called him and I will make his way prosperous. Hallelujah. So when God is the one that called you, when God is the one that began that work in you, it's going to be prosperous. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what men say, if God said it, it's going to come to pass. Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1 verse number 6, and being confident of this fact, that he who has begun a good work in us shall carry it on unto completion in Christ Jesus. That's the NIV. It means that our God is an initiator. When our God begins something, scripture affirms that he will also finish it. If God brought you into marriage, God is going to ensure it will be good. If God brought you into school, God is going to ensure you have that certificate. If God gave you marriage, children will not be an issue, because he started the good work in you and he is going to finish it. If God has told you will be healed, then no matter the diagnosis of the doctors, he says you are here, let's go there, then it's going to take place. Glory to Jesus. Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, he says that, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. An initiating part of God is being exposed again. To utter means to start something, to commence something. Authors bring out ideas. Authors are not like some African writers. They are not plagiarists. They are able to prove a form of originality in the thing they write. You see, most of the project works we do in Africa, if we are to pass it through the plagiarism software, it is going to be terrible. But when the Bible says that this Jesus is the author, he is the prescriber, he is the one that is describing your life, and when he begins to author, scripture says he will not leave you. The chapters of your life may not be pleasant now, but the one who is authoring it is also the one who will finish it. And I came here to encourage you that if he starts with you, he will finish with you. Glory to Jesus. So what did the writers of Hebrews and Philippians and Revelations, we said in the Greek, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In the Greek mythology, it means I am the beginning and the end. So what did the three writers of Philippians, Hebrews, and Revelations miss, because they spoke about him beginning and him finishing. Well, the logic is simple. If he's the one that starts it and he's the one that finishes it, then it means he's the one that sustains you through the journey. So I came here to announce to you that the initiator of your blessing and the finisher of your race is the same one that sustains you throughout the journey. Glory to Jesus. We are here. Let's go there. It is not a matter of discussion for men. It is God that said, we are here, let's go there. Hallelujah. I believe you are entering into the promise of God. And it does not matter what men will say against you. You are about to exit. You are about to exit your current plane of action. You are about to exit your current dimension of realm. You are living this realm. And as I'm going to show you in scripture, you will enter into a different dimension. It will not be you. It will be something else. In that dimension, it's a dimension or a realm of possibilities. All things are possible to them that believe. When you believe, you enter into a different realm. When you believe, you are confident to stretch a rod before a sea. It does not make logic, but he was in a different realm altogether. When you believe, glory to Jesus, there is no food, there is no water, but you sit waiting by the brook of Cherith and you wait on the ravens because you know they will bring you food. When you believe, Bible says, all things are possible. Oh, Job said, when all men are saying there's a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. Why are you saying there's a lifting up? Because if all men are saying there's a casting down, then truly there's a casting down. But you are able to say something different because you believe. And when you believe, you enter into a different dimension. Not a dimension in which they are. Where they are, they see the impossibilities. But when God lifts you out of that realm into another, you say all things are possible and you shall make decrees and it shall come to pass. Glory to Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14, verse 22 to 33, the Bible talks about Jesus with his disciples. And I want us to read that, and something is going to blow your mind from here.
Matthew 14, 22 to 33. And immediately Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray.
Hold on. Okay. Finish that line.
And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
All right. So Jesus is with his disciples. And they had finished teaching a multitude of people. Then he sent the multitude away and said to put the disciples in the boat and push them and said, let's go to the other side. And then he went to the mountains to pray. And I want you to note that. They were at the shore. He sent the men away, put the disciples on a boat, pushed them. And he went to a mountain. A mountain is a hilltop. So he left even the seashore and went into an area at a greater height. I want you to appreciate that. And he went there to pray. And he prayed till evening came. And he was still praying, as we are going to find out, till the fourth hour. Continue reading.
But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary.
So where the boat was now in the middle of the sea. The translations of this is the boat was on the high seas. And it was tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. It means when they got to the high seas, when they were sailing from where God was with them and he said, let's go to the other side, they didn't have a problem. But when they were in the midst of that journey, before they reached the other side, they met a contrary wind. Winds are supposed to help the sail to move. When winds become contrary to you at the height of the deep sea, then there's a problem. Go on.
And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God."
All right. Keep this in your mind. Just keep it up. You know, Jesus prophetically spoke to them. Now, we are here. Let's go there. It's not mainly a change of location. It is not literally a physical place. It's a change of reality. You see, before Jesus spoke this, not too long, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had been assaulted heavily by a group of learned men called Pharisees, who harassed his disciples for plucking the heads of some grains of corn on a Sabbath day. Again, Jesus became the target of an assassination plot by the Pharisees because he healed a man who had paralysis of the hand on a Sabbath day. Bible says that they went out, Matthew chapter number 12, verse 13 to 14. Jesus, they went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Okay. Now, when Jesus knew the thoughts that this was what they wanted to do, Bible says he ran away from there. He withdrew himself. Then Jesus went again and healed some people, a blind and a mute man. Then the Pharisees heard this again, and they started spreading false information to the congregation that he was using the spirit of Satan to do such miracles. This is Jesus, and at the height of his ministry, facing such strong opposition, even though he was performing signs and wonders. So Jesus was troubled. It was at this moment that John the Baptist was beheaded, when they were also looking for Jesus. So when the disciples were thinking, "What is going to happen to us next?" Bible says, "Master Jesus came and said, 'We are here. Let's go there.'" He will be blessed. And when he said that, it was the revelation of moving into the next dimension, not a change in physical location. So he went to pray. That scripture we read is not going to come out. You have to keep your eyes focused there. And the Bible says that he was in the mountains, and when they were alone, several miles and furlongs away from the shore, at the fourth hour, I'm using the Matthew 14, the scripture we read, Matthew 14, 22. At the fourth hour, now the Jews divided the times into four. So the fourth hour was going to be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the fourth watch. The wind that was carrying them, and this is why I want you to listen, became contrary. The wind that was taking them decided to now oppose them. Hear me. And this demonic wind was so strong that the Bible says they became afraid. They were tossed to and fro. They were about to have a shipwreck. Then Jesus appeared on the sea. They were on the high seas. He left them in the evening. He didn't have that meeting teaching that multitude till 2 a.m. No. Because Bible says he let them go. I'm sure it's the evening. And then he pushed them. So they might have sailed from around 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. up to about 3 a.m. So they were on the middle of the high seas. And scripture we read said Jesus was not with them. He went to where? The mountains to pray. So he was not around that sea area. Even he wasn't near the shore. If anything, he was closer to the shore than to the high seas where they are. I want you to be with me. You are with me? Okay. So how? How did this Jesus, all of a sudden, when they were going to the next dimension and met an opposition, Bible says when the ship was being tossed, then Jesus appeared walking on the sea. Where did he come from? Where did he was closer to the shore, if anything. There are no mountains in the midst of the high sea, except the mountain there referred to another dimension that he entered. But if it was a physical mountain where he went to pray, which I believe it was, then how did he transport himself from that mountain to there? I believe that Jesus might have teleported himself. Jesus is praying, Shabba, 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 Shabba. He said, we are going to the next dimension. And he knew the next dimension was not a mere change in location of where you are. So he set them on the sea and decided to go into prayer to activate the keys or the gates or the portals. Those of you who watch movies, a portal can open and then you just go and you are lost and you appear in another world. So he went to activate the portal into the next dimension. And it was in that prayer mood that he saw in the mountains, in the dark places of the caves of the mountains, he saw that his boys were struggling on the sea. So instantly, being in another dimension where the rules of the previous dimension do not work, Jesus Christ, who was in another realm, in a mountain, the place is not the issue. He entered into another realm. And so in a minute, when he saw, where did he start walking from? When he saw in the realms, he just transported himself like Philip was carried away to meet the Ethiopian eunuch and away. Yes. He just transported himself, and the Bible says he appeared on the midst of the high seas, walking on the sea. I'm about to blow your mind. When he was walking on the high seas, the Bible says that they saw him. You have to follow me, please. They saw him. And then they said, Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they saw who? Him walking. So they saw somebody walking. Now, they were troubled. And they said, it is a ghost. Or in the New King James, the King James says, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now, the strong Greek word for the word spirit there is phantasma. Phantasma means, is derived, is where the word the phantom, word phantom is derived from. And it means a mere soul, a specter, a ghost, a shadow, an illusion, a figment of the imagination. So, they see 12 men in a boat sees a man coming, and they decide to describe what they saw to us. And they said, the person was walking on the sea looked like a phantasma, a spirit. His movement on the sea was like a spirit. His movement on the sea was something that they could not believe. And so it could be an illusion. It could be a figment of their imagination. They thought it could be a ghost. They described what they saw. Now here, how is it possible that Jesus left the mountain and appeared there? And they are telling us that his form was like a spirit. Jesus entered into the next dimension. Jesus was not walking on the sea in his bodily form like they were sitting in the boat. The next dimension is not a change of geographical location. It is a change of supernatural location. And when he entered into that realm, the Bible says that they described his movement as a phantom, as a spirit, as a ghost. You will be able to say this is a man walking and not a ghost. Now, as to whether they said that could have been that their inability to believe that a mere man could walk on the sea, and therefore seeing somebody walking, they would think it's a ghost. Or they really described the phantasma that they saw. So this is it. Then they cried. And then he said to them, it is I. Don't be afraid. There were 12 people in the boat. But it was only one person that was quick to say, I will tap into this anointing of the next dimension. 12 people. After Jesus told them, it is I, I'm sure he would have mentioned his name. Or they recognized his voice. So now they were comfortable that it is this Jesus. So my question to you and I is, why do 12 men, ordinary men, see an opportunity to enter another realm, such as walk on the sea? If men don't walk on sea and it is God, then that time decide to be a God. So Peter said that if it is you, now he said it is I, don't be afraid. So they knew it was him. So Peter was doing something else. Peter decided to partake of the anointing of the next dimension that Jesus had activated in prayer. Hear me. He said, if it is you, bid me to come. Peter wanted to go. But he could not step out into that realm without an invitation from the master. Now, as we move into the next dimension, this will be your attitude. That you will be ready. You will become religiously covetous of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That you will bid, say, bid me to come if it is you, Papa. So what Peter did was, Peter stood where Jesus stood. Peter walked where Jesus walked. This was a priceless opportunity. Now hear me. When Jesus said, come, I said that if anybody would challenge what God has said about you, he should know that you didn't precipitate it. God spoke it. So, when God said to Peter, come, see Thomas, see Thomas, John, Judas, Timaeus, Mark, all of them there. He said, see this one. It's you. After all the persecution you've been going through, you want to go. Now, I want to tell you that a boat is about some meters higher than the level of the sea. Say, I hear you. Now, the faith that defied signs was Peter's faith. The faith of Peter defied signs. And I want to preach to you. You see, he longed to step into an unction of the master. The proof of desire is pursuit. Dr. Mike Mudock said that. He longed to walk into an unction. So, when the master said, come, scripture says, Peter got out of the boat and landed on the sea. Nyehani, nye jomo, agbele, in the dimensions of the supernatural. How does a man in a boat get out onto the sea? He has to scale over. Okay. The sinking of Peter was not an issue, because what he achieved was far greater than the momentary sinking. Because his dimensions of movement were even greater than that of Jesus. Hear me. He was in the old realm, and Jesus said, come. So he decided to scale over the boat. Jumping over the boat gave him an extra height above the height of the boat, which means that he moved high up. Hear me. And at that point, the influence of gravitational force becomes greater on a man, such that his original weight before the jump is going to be increased as he lands after jumping. So if Peter was a 70 kilogram man, then jumping from the boat onto the sea was going to give him an extra weight and predispose him to greater sinking. Hear me. But he jumped off the boat, and scripture says he landed on the sea. He stood on the sea. He landed immediately at the boat. And then he turned back and looked at them and said, "Oh yeah, I'm gone. I'm in the next dimension. I'm in the next dimension. I'm in the next dimension." And the Bible says he began to walk. He began to walk towards Jesus. Now, the scripture we read says that it was when they entered into the boat that the wind ceased. So all this while that Peter jumped out onto the sea, the wind was still there. It was the same wind that was contrary to them. As a matter of fact, this wind was not new to Peter. It was the wind that was tossing them to and fro till Jesus came and introduced them to the next dimension. So, when they were going, and Peter had his eyes fixed on Jesus, so long as his eyes remained focused on Jesus, he continued to remain in the next dimension. So long as, okay, how does a man, Jesus is Jesus, so you could challenge that he could walk on sea. But then my question about Peter is, how does a man walk on sea? The density of water is 1 gram per centimeter cube, or 1,000 kilogram per meter cube. Okay. From Archimedes, for anything to float, then the mass of that thing should be lighter than that of the 1 gram per any centimeter cube that we take into consideration. So if Peter could walk on the sea, then it means that for every centimeter cube of water that we took, Peter's weight was less than 1 gram. Peter was about an 80 kilogram man. So how is that possible? Two things. It is either that Peter's weight became less than 1 gram per centimeter cube of water, or the water in which he was standing changed the chemistry and became a solid. However, we know that cannot be true, that the water changed its composition. Because few seconds after he began to sink, so the water did not change his composition. It means that Peter's body mass, Peter's physical body was not what was working on the water. Peter's physical body was not what was on the water. If it was, he would sink. Peter entered into another dimension. And in that dimension was the realm of possibilities, where God could translate a man like Philip over a distance of 48 miles after the baptism of the Ethiopian Enoch back into Samaria for a revival. It was the same thing. God translated him from his original body into another. The same body that Jesus had that made him walk on water was the same thing that Peter had also. Fixing his eyes on Jesus, Peter walked where Jesus walked. Now, the Bible says that when he took his focus off Jesus, he saw the wind. Now, I preach to you, this wind was not a different wind. It was the same wind that he knew, and he was crying. So when he saw it, he left. No, when you take your eyes off Jesus, you will exit the realm of the next dimension, and you come back into the realm of the natural. So he came back into the realm of the natural, and the water was not solid. He left that dimension and came back to his normal form. And the Bible says he began to sink. But hear me, Peter was the first man to walk on sea. Bible says Jesus actually stretched his hand and took him out. It means that Peter had really walked the distance to get closer to Jesus. Peter walked on the sea, forget his sinking. That is the same thing I'm coming to tell you. In the next dimension, if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, if you fall, should you fall, he will lift you back up. He will lift you back up.
Should there be some weaknesses that you are believing God to heal and to deliver you from, I came here to prophesy to you. Don't let the enemy use that to frustrate you. Because if you sink, Jesus will ensure that you do not die. He will lift you up. I remember growing up as a believer, I had so many issues. But anytime I began to sink, he saved me and brought me out. Glory to Jesus. So the next thing that I want you to know is that when the Bible says, when he took him, they entered the boat. So Peter, after his momentary lapse in the next dimension, regained the consciousness and went back into the next dimension again. Come, man of God, let me tell you something. So he took him out. He was sinking. So initially, come here. So you are here. And then I say, come. Then you come. Now he's in the next dimension. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks somewhere and he begins to sink. But he had gotten close to Jesus already, because he could stretch and take him. It means he had gotten close. So he took him out like that. When he took him out, his focus was now on Jesus. When you are sinking and a man is on top of you and he's lifting you up, it's him that you look to. So when he looked to Jesus again, he left the sinking waters and entered into another dimension. Now the beauty of the thing is that at this time, 11 potential sea walkers, 11 potential men who could have also partaken, okay, of the next dimension, were still sitting in the old realm and they were looking. Abi, he's sinking. I told you he will make it. Is it only you that you have anointing? He's sinking. But they didn't know that his momentary fall didn't matter, because he had exited the realm of the natural and partaked of the supernatural. When God lifted him up, Abi, did they fly into the boat? No. So they started to walk again on the sea. And they were walking. And they were going towards the boat. Now what Jesus told Peter when they were walking from the point he sank to the sea is only between God and Peter. The conversation they had, it was an impartation of revelation. That is why 2 chapters down the line in Matthew 16, in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus came and asked the disciples, who do men say I am? The same 12 people. And then all of them had tabula rasa. They could not know anything. The man they walked with, the man they saw walking on the sea, all of a sudden they developed tabula rasa, empty mind, empty brain. They knew nothing about the man they walked with except the man that walked with Jesus on the sea. And the Bible says that when they were confused, Peter said, allow me to enlighten you about what he told me when we walked from my sinking point onto the boat. And he said, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then there was a pretense and a drama going on. Then Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Hear me. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He is not flesh and blood. Who is spirit? Who is in heaven? Open, raise your eyes. You didn't see the Father? No. Why? He's in a different dimension. Okay. So Jesus is telling us what happened on the sea. He said, flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father. It means that you got this information by being in another dimension. The only reference to Peter being in another realm was at the point where he walked with Jesus back to the boat. And in that realm, he could see the Father. In that realm, he could hear from the Father. He was the first man to pronounce Christ as the anointed. I came here to prophesy to you that if you shall keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you will have a better revelation of who he is. And when you have a better revelation of who he is, awesome things are going to happen to you. Awesome things are going to happen to you. Peter then left the disciples in a different realm. A different realm. When we decide to move on this next dimension, don't be like the 11 potential sea walkers, potential men who have gotten their name in history. They became spectators instead of being participators. I came here to encourage you and to prophesy to you that as we move to the next dimension of our lives, of our ministries, don't be a spectator, be a participator.
as we move to the next dimension of our lives and of our ministry, even as we change our physical location, oh, I came here to tell you, I will be in the mountain praying, but step with me into the next realm. You will walk on sea. You will do the impossible. You will do the impossible. It is possible in the next realm. The impossible is possible in the next dimension. Isaiah 54 says that, enlarging thy coast, strengthen thy curtains. He says, why? You are about to break forth. He says, sing, O ye barren, for greater are your children than that who has a husband. When you enter into the next dimension, I prophesy to you, all impossible things become possible. And should you bump your head trying to find your way in the next dimension, there is Jesus by your side, and he will lift you up. What is your struggle? What is your pain? What is your shame? What is your struggle? What is your pain? What is your shame? Jesus is the author, and he is the finisher. And do you know what happened? You see, when they left, I think I have to tell you that before I close. I'll show you that before I close. Jesus, in Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 53, and then we'll read Matthew 14, verse number 34. So two things are going to happen. When you get into the next dimension, people who decided not to recognize you, they'll begin to recognize you. Say a big amen to that. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, before Matthew 13, 53, before Jesus had this experience with them, the Bible says he went to Nazareth. He was teaching, he was preaching, but they did not receive him. In the midst of all those miracles, they still did not receive him. But after the next dimension, glory to Jesus, in Matthew chapter number 14, as I gave you, the Bible says when he entered Gennesaret, Nazareth and Gennesaret. When he entered Gennesaret, he says the people recognize him. Find, show them that scripture and let's close. Matthew 14, 34. Verse number 35. So when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. So now where Jesus said they should go, they've gone. When they got there, what happened? And when the men of the place recognized him. Before the next dimension, Nazareth rejected him. After they entered into the next realm, he said the men recognized him. They appreciated him. They brought him all men and all were healed. But in Nazareth, only a few. I came here to encourage you that this your God, four singers, this your God, this your God, he is not only the starter, but he is also the finisher. He is not only the finisher, but he is also the sustainer. And if he has said, we are here, let's go there. Then know that no matter what happens to you on that journey, make sure I don't get any feedback, so stand somewhere better. No matter what happens to you on that journey, move up. No matter what happens to you on that journey, he is there with you. He's there with you. He's there with you. He's there with you. And it does not matter what men think or say. No, it doesn't. You didn't say that I'm going there. He said, you are here. Let's go there. You didn't enter marriage yourself. The Bible says he that finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from God. So it was God's doing. You didn't just enter into college. It was God that took you. Philippians 1 says this, and being confident of this thing, that he who has begun, he who has initiated, permit my English, he who has alphaed this thing in you, he will omega it. He will omega it. He will omega it. Rise to your feet.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be a part of our victory services every Sunday from 6:30 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Join us for our special monthly services, Penel All Night Service, last Friday of each month, Open Heavens, first Sunday of each month, and Shiloh, 4 days of dry fast during the second week of each month. For more information, visit our website, JesusGenerationOnline.com. Jesus Generation, experiencing God, raising a godly generation. We wish you Jesus.